Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Current Sports is live. Back in your ear on this Monday, September 10th. 2018. I really hope you all had a great weekend. We are ready to get back at it here on a Monday fun day. A lot to get to, as a Monday's current sports customarily is, because we're going to do our best to recap what took place when it comes to the biggest sports stories here in mid-Michigan and beyond. Of course, it was week one, Sunday, number one, I should say, and week one of the NFL regular season, which will conclude tonight. Your Detroit Lions will play host to Sam Darnold and the New York Jets. We'll preview that game, and we'll invite the great Justin Rogers here on the show. Justin Rogers, of course, is a beat reporter for the Detroit Lions with the Detroit News. Justin, who has been a very busy man, he's going to take some time, about 15 minutes or so, during segment B of the hour to preview the Jets and Lions. You don't want to miss that conversation. And, oh boy, Spartan fans, I know you're not feeling good today. The weather doesn't help. Cloudy, rainy, a bit cold, a touch of fall out there, even though the weather will get progressively better as the week moves along here. But just a mucky day. Added on to the fact that Michigan State, late on Saturday night, bleeding into, of course, Sunday morning, fell to Arizona State in the dry heat that is Arizona, the desert. Fell to Arizona State, now moving the Spartans to 1-1 on the year. You know what? I think many of you are overreacting just a tad bit. Just a tad bit. You know, I saw so many tweets out there from Michigan State Spartan fans just basically saying the season is done. How can this team compete for a Big Ten championship? This team is not going to be a national title contender. All the same problems that we saw against Utah State showed up in this game, which I can't argue with that point. Yeah, they were some of the same issues that we saw against Utah State, becoming glaringly worse in some regards against Arizona State and the Sun Devils on Saturday night. But I really don't believe that the season is done for Michigan State. This is a team that, again, has not played a Big Ten game yet. They have a bye week this week, of course. Then we'll get at it on the road against Indiana in 2 weeks. But to say the season is down in the dumps and over, I'm just not buying that. However, I will put in perspective why I do believe that Michigan State does have some problems, and they have to fix those problems ASAPual. All right? And I think some of it had to probably do with the fact that many of you Spartan fans who didn't make the trip to ASU, you know, you stayed up pretty late for that game. I mean, that game did not end till after 2 a.m. when the club was closing. All right? So I get it. I get it. You know, you're staying up late, and then you put all that time and effort into watching the Spartans, watching your Spartans. If you stay up that late, well past most of your bedtimes, you want to see a green and white victory. So I think that adds to your frustration, and maybe it's part of the reason why you are so down on Mark D'Antonio and the Spartans. So we'll talk ASU and Michigan State. We'll also talk the University of Michigan, as Jim Harbaugh and company were able to get an easy dub against Western Michigan fans. I knew this was going to happen. You know, I also took to Twitter to see the reaction from Michigan fans out there after beating Western Michigan, coming off that loss to Notre Dame in week one, right? And yeah, it's like that Notre Dame game didn't happen in the eyes of many Michigan football fans out there, all right? So, yeah, we'll put those two games in perspective. We'll also take a big picture look at what we saw on the first Sunday of the NFL year. Man, I tell you what, I'm late to the party a bit. Now, I've tuned in here and there since it's been out, but I'm a little late to the party when it comes to the NFL Red Zone channel. But I have it this year, and I don't know how any NFL fan out there, after experiencing the Red Zone channel, could ever go back to watching a full NFL game, unless that team is like your team, you know, unless you're like a diehard fan of that one particular team. But I don't know how any fan can have the Red Zone channel and go back to just watching one game throughout the course of like 2.5 hours. I just don't understand it, because the Red Zone takes you to just about every, you get to see every score that's happening at that moment. You get a chance to really get general knowledge of every NFL team out there. They're taking you from game to game, showing you scoring opportunities for these different teams. I was in heaven. I literally sat in my pajamas from about 12 to around 7, just glued to the NFL Red Zone channel. I was in heaven yesterday, folks. I had a great weekend, as you can tell. Sunday was great. Sunday was awesome. And then it was capped off with Aaron Rodgers pulling off one of the greatest performances you'll see in an NFL game. Looked like the man wasn't going to return after that knee injury. Comes back, puts on the Superman cape, and leads the Green Bay Packers to victory over Khalil Mack, who looked great in that first half, I might add. But Aaron Rodgers leading the Packers to a victory over the Chicago Bears last night at Lambeau Field. That was a fun night of NFL football, a fun day of NFL football. So we'll talk Sunday number one of the NFL season as well. We'll do all of that. Also, got to get off my chest to take a break from football. I got to get off my chest what happened out in New York when it comes to Naomi Osaka and Serena Williams at the U.S. Open Final. Because there are a few points I want to make when it comes to that, especially. And I put this this picture on my Facebook page. It has gotten so much traction. Also, I tweeted it out. There is a certain cartoonist, Mark Knight of the Herald Sun, who has put together a cartoon of the Serena Williams and Naomi Osaka match on Saturday that has a lot of people buzzing and a lot of people angry, and justifiably so. All right. If you want to see it, again, it's on my Twitter page at Al Martin, WKAR. On my Facebook page, it's Hyman's 21 shares. It just angers me. And it's really sad at the end of the day. All right. But I want to put in perspective what exactly happened at the U.S. Open in NYC. There are a few points I want to make. And of course, I want to invite all of you to be a part of this conversation as well. If you got comments and thoughts on Michigan State and ASU, U of M, and Western Michigan, Sunday number one of the NFL season, if you want to help preview the Detroit Lions and New York Jets game, anything that's on your sports noggin, call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. We have our live stream up and running there. Comment below that video. And you can tweet us, tweet the show, at WKAR_sports, or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Here are your quick hit headliners. All right, and of course, we start with Michigan State and ASU. This game definitely will have some implications for the rest of the season. MSU fell to Arizona State University. At the end of the third quarter, things were looking smooth as Michigan State was up 13-3. The fourth quarter is where it went downhill. A bunch of mental errors on the field from both sides, really. And an offensive line from Michigan State that was getting bullied by the Sun Devils defense contributed to the win, to the loss, I should say, for MSU. Now, the MSU running backs were essentially non-existent.
No offensive line to protect them, totaling 63 yards total. Another deciding factor in this game was cornerback Josiah Scott being out again with the left foot injury. The Spartans gave up 300-plus yards through the air for the second straight week. It was the first time the Spartan secondary allowed consecutive games with that many yards since giving up more than 300 in four straight games in 2015. We'll have more on MSU and ASU in just a moment. A shellacking of Western Michigan does not erase Michigan's season opening loss at Notre Dame a week ago, but it did give the Wolverines a chance to find a much-needed offensive rhythm and bolster the team's confidence. The Wolverines had little resistance from WMU as they routed the Broncos 49-3 before 110,000 at Michigan Stadium on Saturday. Quarterback Shea Patterson making his first start in the Big House, 12 of 17 for 125 yards, three touchdowns to tight end Sean McEwen and receivers Nico Collins and Donovan Peoples-Jones, which were the Wolverines' first scoring passes to receivers since the Cincinnati game a year ago. It was a big rushing game for Michigan. Caron Higdon had 156 yards on 13 carries and scored on a 67-yard run, and Chris Evans added two touchdowns on 86 yards. More on that game later on as well. The Michigan State men's golf team is tied for fourth place after two rounds at the season-opening Gopher Invitational at the Windsong Farm Golf Club in Minnesota. The Spartans are 8 over par, 576 after a pair of 4 over par, 288 in each round. MSU is tied with Purdue for fourth place and 7 shots back of co-leaders Oklahoma and Texas. Iowa is in third place at 6 over par, 574. The Michigan State women's volleyball team wrapped up the Fairfield Invitational with a 3-0 sweep of Central Connecticut. The Spartans wrapped up the tournament with 4 consecutive 3-0 victories over 2 days. Michigan State sits at 9-1 on the year, plays its first home matches of the season next weekend when it will play host to the Auto Owners Insurance Spartan Invitational. MSU's 9-match winning streak goes on the line Friday versus Albany. The Michigan State women's soccer team, number 23, Colorado, got 2 early first-half goals from Tayden Barton on the way to a 3-0 victory over Michigan State women's soccer, handing the Spartans their first loss of the season yesterday at DeMartin Stadium. MSU now falls to 5-1-1, while the Buffaloes improve to 6-0-1 on the year. After a brief one-game road test, the number 3 Michigan State men's soccer team returns home to DeMartin Stadium today against in-state rival Oakland. That will be a 7 p.m. start time. The Spartans improve to 4-0-1 after a dominating 3-0 victory over Bowling Green on Friday night. Also, Detroit Lions fans, the wait is finally over. The Crew, rocking the Honolulu Blue, is set to begin their season tonight at 7:10 p.m., the first slate on the Monday Night Football schedule against Sam Darnold and the New York Jets at home. This will be Matt Patricia's regular season debut with the Lions, and it will be Matthew Stafford's 10th season behind center as quarterback at Ford Field. You can catch that game on ESPN. Sooner or later, Jimmy Garoppolo was going to lose a game. This was his toughest yet as San Francisco's starting quarterback facing a fierce Minnesota defense that refused to let him pass with 2 touchdown passes. Former Michigan State quarterback great Kirk Cousins in his debut with the Vikings. He was amazing. Kirk Cousins was really fun to watch. He finished the day 20 of 36 with 2 touchdowns, 0 INTs, had a really nice throw to the end zone on the left sideline. Just amazing. Kirk Cousins, I think that will work out in Minnesota. I think Minnesota can be a legit Super Bowl contender this year. So congratulations to Kirk. And the Vikings will now travel to Green Bay to take on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. A-Rodge, what a performance against the Chicago Bears last night at Lambeau Field, right? But the Vikes and the Packers get it on come this Sunday. All right, Michael Fulmer was perfect through 5 innings, survived a scoreless 6th, and couldn't make it out of the 7th. The St. Louis Cardinals scored 5 runs in the 7th to break a scoreless tie and beat the Detroit Tigers 5-2 yesterday afternoon at Comerica Park. Even with the loss, the Tigers were able to take 2 of 3 at home against the Cards and will now host the Houston Astros as Justin Verlander makes his homecoming to Comerica Park tonight at 6:10 p.m. Kathy Klages, former Michigan State University gymnastics coach, had her passport taken from her in a preliminary court hearing on Friday. Klages is charged with 1 felony count and 1 misdemeanor account, of lying to a peace officer. Klages is accused of lying to investigators about allegations against Larry Nassar, She faces up to 4 years in prison if convicted. Also, I'm going to let Jack Kerwin handle this because I'm looking at this headliner and I'm really afraid to botch these names. So, Jack, we have some hockey news. What is that news, brother?
We sure do. Former captain of the Montreal Canadiens, Max Pacioretty, was traded to Las Vegas in the dark of night last night in exchange for former Red Wing Tomas Tatar, prospect Nick Suzuki, and a 2019 second-round pick. This sends the former Canadiens captain of one of hockey's oldest franchises to a club coming off a run to the Stanley Cup final in its inaugural season. Pacioretty was named the Habs captain in 2015 and has played all 626 of his NHL games with Montreal. He recently denied reports that he'd requested a trade. However, earlier this morning, Montreal owner Jeff Molson and general manager Marc Bergevin refuted these claims. And he'd been in trade speculation, basically since last season's trade deadline. Line that Habs weren't really competitive. Mm-hmm. And there'd been speculation that he'd be moved on, and he finally has been. So he's got 1 year left on his deal. The latest I heard earlier this morning is that Vegas is already working on locking him up long term.
Really? Okay. Good stuff, Jack. Thanks for the pinch hit there, brother. Appreciate it. Let's keep it pushing. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Also, and you gave me flack for this, Jack, but he's in the running. We argued about this on Friday. Jack actually came to my office yesterday and saw me watching Tiger Woods at the BMW Championship, right? And Jack's like, Al, give it up. Tiger is not back. He's not going to win, and angered me. You guys know I love Tiger Woods. A quick update from the BMW Championship. It was in a weather delay yesterday, and the final round had to be pushed to today. Golfers got underway this morning, and Tiger Woods, he's on the 18th now. He sits two shots in back of the leader. He's tied for fourth place right now as Keegan Bradley and Justin Rose lead the pack there. So, yeah, Jack, he's not going to win, but still, Tiger's competitive. That's all I'm happy about, man. I don't ask for much from the sports world. Okay. Let's go.
Out of an empty set, Lewerke to the air on first and 25, takes a shot, throws it downfield, pulled in, touchdown, Cody White. Wilkins taking a shot for Harry. He's got it! Touchdown, ASU! That is a grown man. Now it's up to Brandon Reese, sophomore from Gilbert, who originally committed to Alabama, to give Arizona State the win. Snap is good. That's it.
Right. As I just mentioned at the top of the hour, we got a lot to get to on today's current sports. Later on in the hour, we're going to talk about the Detroit Lions playing host to the New York Jets to open the season with Justin Rogers, Lions beat reporter for the Detroit News. You're also going to get my thoughts on Western Michigan and Michigan as the Wolverines completely blew out the Broncos. And I got some thoughts on the Serena Williams and Naomi Osaka drama that ensued at the U.S. Open Final in NYC on Saturday. But first, you just heard the snippet. Michigan State falling to Arizona State on the road in the desert. Really, really hot. I kept seeing that tweeted from a lot of the beat writers who were on the road in the desert covering that game at Sun Devil Stadium. Just really, really hot. Dry heat. But still, really, really hot. I mean, heck, I'll take that. over the snow that we get here in Michigan any day. Any day, okay? But Michigan State falls to Arizona State. And many of you Spartan fans are jumping ship. Many of you are up in arms and very upset. And again, I think some of it has to do with the fact that you stayed up real late. I mean, that game didn't end till after 2 a.m. I mean, heck, and I'm ashamed to say this, but... And I'm you like last night, for instance, I was up till 4 a.m. OK, I'm a night owl. I don't know what it was, though. I just got tired. I'm sitting there watching a game. I'm on the couch with the pup. I'm tweeting, you know, left and right like I usually do. And then next thing you know, like the third quarter hit and my eyes got heavy. And, you know, I tried like resting my eyes, which is so stupid. When you rest your eyes, you're going to go to sleep. I tried resting my eyes during commercial breaks. And next thing you know, I'm out cold and I wake up to the visual of Harry, catching a beautiful throw from Manny Wilkins just over Justin Lane for a touchdown. And I'm like, whoa, what is going on here? What is going on? What's up with the Spartans? And I had to, like, you know, wipe the crust out my eyes and try and put in perspective, you know, what had just gone down. And, you know, I didn't go back and check out what I missed, but, you know, I did after the game, after it was said and done. And the Spartans have some problems, I believe. Now, I'm not like, you know, some of you Spartan fans out there who are just throwing in the towel and thinking that this season is done. How can this team compete for a Big Ten championship? They're not going to compete for a national championship. I mean, come on. It's the second game of the season. Arizona State is proving that they are a pretty good team. And mad props to Herm Edwards. Mad props to Herm Edwards. I mean, this is a man who has not coached since 2008 with the Kansas City Chiefs, hasn't coached college since 1990. This was the first meeting, actually, between the Spartans and the Sun Devils since 1986. I mean, Herm hasn't coached in a while, but he had and has his team ready. Complete mollywhopping of UTSA. That was expected, right? It's UTSA. But for them to be competitive against a ranked Michigan State team, a Michigan State team that many coming into the year believe, and I still do believe, that Michigan State is still going to be competitive in the uber-competitive Big Ten East, for them to knock off Michigan State, that's a big win. And Herm Edwards deserves a lot of credit for that win. You know, he made adjustments, and he had his team ready, and he had his team believing that they could go out there and knock off the Spartans. I love the visual right before they ran out. You know, Herm Edwards kind of yelling, saying, "Leave it on the grass. Leave it on the grass, man." I mean, he's intense. He is very intense. And we got a chance to really dive into the personality and get to know Herm Edwards on another level as he was an analyst, a football analyst for ESPN. You know, this experiment as Herm Edwards, as head coach of ASU, which really came out of left field when the hire was announced, in my opinion, I mean, this may work out. And dare I say it, I think Herm Edwards outcoached Mark D'Antonio. I think he did. Herm Edwards made the necessary adjustments. Herm Edwards, brilliant clock management, right? Herm Edwards dialing up a blitz on that fourth down, putting pressure on Brian Lewerke. Those are winning moments. And Herm Edwards and ASU and the Sun Devils got the job done. That offensive line for Michigan State has to play better. The troubles that Michigan State has on that offensive line, if they don't figure it out, it's going to cost the Spartans big games come Big Ten season. You got to protect Brian Lewerke. You got to create running lanes for L.J. Scott. If you don't, you will lose football games. Simple as that. The Spartans ran for only, as I mentioned in the headliner, 63 yards on the ground. And Brian Lewerke was running like a chicken with his head cut off in the backfield most of the night. And it costed the Spartans that game on Saturday night. You know, the pressure that Lewerke received. And especially, I mean, don't get me wrong, Michigan State had plenty of opportunities to win this game. Plenty of opportunities, you know, but... You talk about that pressure and just protecting and what it means to protect your quarterback and how that can pay dividends in a game. I mean, goodness. I mean, just look at the play when Brian Lewerke is pressured and has to throw off his back foot to Dotson, the tight end. Now, I'm not letting Dotson off the hook here because that's a ball that hit him in the gloves. catch the ball, Dotson. I was surprised that Lewerke, you know, was able to throw that good of a pass with that kind of pressure in his face falling to the ground. Dotson, you got to make that catch. Bounces off of his paws. ASU interception. That should have been 7 points. You tack that on, Michigan State wins the game. All right? Also, you know, the little things. Raekwon Williams. You know, the Manny Wilkins fumble. Just fall on the football. You know, he tried to be the playmaker, be the hero, right, and went for a scoop and score. That was a big moment because ASU recovers it. They punt the ball, and the field totally shifts now. Michigan State could have at least got a field goal out of that. It's the little things. It really is. It truly is. Now, if you would have told me that N'Keal Harry will be kept in check relatively much of the game, and that Michigan State defense would only allow 16 points on the road in those weather conditions, 3-hour time difference, I would have chosen Michigan State to win that game. If you would have told me that the defense would have only given up for that game 16 points. But again, Michigan State left too many points on the board. That offensive line did not protect Brian Lewerke. Didn't open up any running lanes. That has to change. It really does. And, you know, mad props, though, to the wide receiving core. I really think that looking back at that game, after looking at the tape twice now, I looked at, you know, quarters of the game yesterday. Didn't watch the entire game, but watched quarters of the game yesterday, specifically the second half. Cody White and Felton Davis. I thought Felton Davis should have been targeted a bit more. Felton Davis is a dynamic wide receiver. So is Cody White. They're both great. And, again, I've... Daryl Stewart as well. I mean, Brian Lewerke has a lot of weapons out there. I really thought Michigan State should have went to the receivers more, specifically Felton Davis, even though he had 5 catches, 64 yards. Cody White, 9 catches, 1 touchdown. Cody White, my goodness, 113 yards for him. I still thought in moments Michigan State could have went to Felton more because I thought he was getting into a groove in that game. But again, you got to protect your quarterback. And Brian Lewerke, he just didn't have time. Just did not have time and made some sporadic decisions. So moving forward now, you know, Michigan State has a bye week. They're beaten up. You know, the Spartans are beaten up now. Coach Ewens did play. But after he went in there, you know, I think he went in for like one snap. He re-injured whatever injury that he has. That's not great. L.J. Scott, beaten up in that game as well. He went out. Was questionable for a return. I don't think he return in the second half, Jack? We didn't see him in that second half, did we?
No, Ladarius Jefferson stepped in.
Ladarius Jefferson came in, right. So L.J. Scott's beaten up. Tariq Thompson. You know, Jacob Panishute. This team, gosh, I mean, I've gone on record to say that, you know, I like bye weeks later on in the football year. Because that's when your injuries become, you know, the longer you play consistently, the more prone you are to injuries, and the injuries can pile up. But this actually turns out to be, in my opinion, a timely buy for Michigan State. You know, and I stated this before the season. It all depends on what happens out in ASU. If the Spartans win, you want to get right back at it. You want that momentum of 2-0 to keep on rolling. You want to play Indiana right now. But if you lose, gives you some time to reflect. It gives you some time to heal. And Spartan fans, it gives you some time to chill. I think you're being a bit irrational here. You're overreacting a bit. I mean, this is a good ASU team. Herm Edwards, a solid coach. And also, talking about Herm Edwards coaching, that was a masterful job of clock management to close out that game. Any program out there, any coach out there that wants to know how to manage a clock when the game is on the line, just look at film of those last 2 minutes and how Herm Edwards and the Arizona State coaching staff handled those last 2 minutes. Genius. It was brilliant. Didn't even give Coach D'Antonio a chance to pull off some magic. But when looking at this season for Michigan State, Big Ten play has yet to get underway. Michigan State played a good Arizona State team. Can we pump the brakes just a bit? Just a bit. We'll see if Michigan State can figure out this offensive line problem. But overall, I did see some improvement in the defense. I really did. Even though they made some big plays. You know, I actually saw that when it comes to Todd McShay's 2019 projections, he actually has N'Keal Harry as the top wide receiver coming out of the 2019 draft class, and I see why. The kid is amazing. From the Caribbean, came to Arizona, making his family proud. I mean, that catch, that was just an amazing catch. I mean, Justin Laney tried. I mean, he thought he could have turned his helmet to the right. That probably would have helped the brother out. But great catch. Right over, and it was a perfectly thrown ball as well. I like the play of Manny Wilkins. He had a lot of overthrows in that game. You also look at that as well. I think that secondary got bailed out a few times. There were about like 7 overthrows that Manny Wilkins had in that game that, if connected, probably could have led to a touchdown or at least a field goal. N'Keal Harry is a beast. But that Michigan State defense only giving up 16 points to that offense. That's impressive. And I'll take that all day. What are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We're going to give a dial right now to Justin Rogers of the Detroit News. I want to get Justin on to briefly preview the Detroit Lions and New York Jets Monday night football game tonight. We'll hit our first break. We'll read a few of your comments, take a few of your calls. And again, Justin Rogers will join me on the show to talk about the Honolulu Blue. But how are you feeling, Spartan fans? Has your perception changed about how this year is going to go for Michigan State? Or do you still believe that this team can be competitive and they still have all of their goals right in front of them? So the first break, we'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. You just heard my thoughts on Michigan State and Arizona State. I think many Spartan fans are being a bit just irrational when it comes to throwing the season out the window. Michigan State can't recover from this. The same problems that we saw against Utah State becoming the same problems that we saw against Arizona State. Timely bye. Then you go on the road to play Indiana. I think some Spartan fans are just being just totally overreactionary here. But, you know, Michigan State does have some things to work out. I want to hear your thoughts on Michigan State and ASU. And has your perception changed now? Michigan State stays in the top 25 in both polls in the coaches and the Associated Press. 25th in the Associated Press poll, 24th in the coaches poll. What are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. As you all are calling in and commenting on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News as well, I want to get to our guest for today's Current Sports. I know he's short on time because he is getting ready to cover tonight's Monday Night Football season opener for the Detroit Lions as the Lions play host to the New York Jets. That will be a 7:10 p.m. kick time. Justin Rogers now joins WKAR's Current Sports. He covers the Detroit Lions for the Detroit News. Justin, how you doing, my man? I know you're a busy brother around this time of the year, right? Oh, do we have Justin? Do we have him? Jack?
Should, just a second here.
Okay, hold on. It's Monday. I'll give you a pass, Jack. It's Monday. So hopefully we can get Justin back. Does it say he's on? No? Okay, we'll get Justin Rogers on the show in just a moment. But again, Detroit Lions, New York Jets. This game in particular is going to have a lot of a lot of fanfare surrounded around it because of Sam Darnold, one of the highly touted rookie quarterbacks who have a lot of expectations surrounded around him. You know, Sam Darnold, I like what I saw in the preseason with Sam Darnold, and I went on the record after watching this whole situation with him and Teddy Bridgewater at first to say that, look, you know, you're the New York Jets. You know, why not go through the growing pains right now with a quarterback that you believe is going to be the franchise guy later on down the road? Why waste time with Teddy Bridgewater, who, again, may have at the moment given you the best opportunity to win, but right now it's about grooming that young talent. And I think Sam Darnold is going to be has the potential to be a special quarterback in the National Football League. I like his mechanics. I like how comfortable he is in the pocket. He's a playmaker. I really believe that. So we hope to get Justin. Do we have Justin on? Do we have Justin Rogers on, Jack? No?
We're about to get Drew in here.
Okay. We're working on that. We're working on getting Justin Rogers on the show. In the meantime, I want to go back to Michigan State just for a moment. Because, again, I thought Mark D'Antonio, his tone at the end of that game was pretty much my tone. And I totally agree with how Mark handled this. I mean, of course, he was asked a question by reporters. I mean, you know, what are your thoughts on this game? And does this change your perception about where this team is heading? What happened? Things of that nature. And Mark D'Antonio said, look, man, it's a game of inches. And we didn't do the little things right. Arizona State capitalized on the inches that we just gave away. There were moments in that game where Michigan State could have put the foot on the gas. And I thought they could have pulled away here. But they just they did not take advantage of those opportunities. So now, you know, to compare this, because that's what we do here on Sports Talk Radio, both premier college football teams are 1-1 on the season here in the state of Michigan. That being the Michigan Wolverines, who absolutely stomped on, as we expected, right? Who absolutely stomped on Western Michigan on Saturday afternoon at the Big House, the home opener for the Wolverines. And Michigan State now, of course, with the loss to Arizona State, moves to 1-1 as well. Both premier college football teams here in the state of Michigan are 1-1. And I've seen this debate on social media a lot as well. And there are some Spartan fans out there who are actually, you know, comparing the 1-1 records of both Michigan and Michigan State. Now, I don't think, you know, that's kind of a fun argument, because ultimately it comes down to which team you think is better, Notre Dame or Arizona State. And, you know, for Michigan State, you look at the win that they got against Utah State, where they were favored by 23 or 25 points in that game, depending on which sports book you're looking at. And again, only squeaking by with a touchdown victory. And you look at, you know, Western Michigan getting absolutely stomped on by the Wolverines. It's an interesting comparison. It really is. Which 1-1 record is better, if you can say that? Because, again, at the end of the day, it's both a 500 record. So I'm curious to get your thoughts on that, all right? But I'm getting the signal behind the glass that we do have Justin Rogers ready right now. Now I know he's really short on time now, because we're supposed to get him on at 1:30. But Justin Rogers is getting ready to preview, of course, help us preview, of course, the Detroit Lions and New York Jets game one for the Honolulu Blue down at Ford Field. Again, a 7:10 p.m. kickoff. Justin, first off, thank you so much for your time and patience as we finally got you on the airwaves here.
Yeah, I'll take the technical problems now as opposed to when I'm on tight deadline later this evening.
Exactly. We appreciate that, Justin. So first off, I just want to dive right into it now because of the time. When you look at the Detroit Lions heading into this game, and you look at the 53-man roster, as again, cuts are now in the books, you know, the preseason is now in the books, what are your takeaways about this 53-man roster moving forward into game one against the Jets tonight?
Yeah, I think the offense is solid. You know, you saw that last season. I think they shored up a few of their holes on offense. Kenny Golladay should be a little bit better. Frank Ragnow is the last piece on the offense. And the backfield rotation, I think, has the potential, maybe not to be the best in the league. It's not like they're going to suddenly become the Kansas City Chiefs, but you know, it certainly is a group that could be league average, which is more than enough to complement the passing attack that the Lions do present. Defensively, you know, there are holes. You know, this is a group that had a pretty significant turnover in that front seven. You know, they haven't shown yet the ability to rush the passer, and they didn't make many personnel upgrades up front to, you know, lead me to believe they're suddenly going to be excellent at that. You know, I'm also concerned about their ability to stop the run on the edges. And the second cornerback spot, you know, we thought that they were going to add a little bit more competition there this offseason with Deshaun Shedd to that Nevin Lawson, Tease Tabor mix. And, you know, Shedd didn't work out. He's already been cut. And you're left with Lawson and Tabor, both who really struggled throughout the offseason.
Yeah, I tell you what, if Matthew Stafford, knock on wood, if he does get hurt at any point, I mean, I'm with you. I'm with you, Justin. I don't feel confident in whoever's coming off the bench to replace him. Now, there's going to be a lot of fanfare surrounded around this game due to, of course, Sam Darnold making the start for the New York Jets. High draft pick. I like what I saw out of the preseason for, you know, when looking at Sam Darnold. When it comes to this matchup, I mean, how do you think Matt Patricia is going to attack this young quarterback tonight?
Yeah, I think you're going to want to throw some disguised pressure looks at him. You know, the Lions didn't do a whole lot of blitzing throughout the preseason, and I think they kept that in the bag intentionally. I think the biggest thing to making sure they limit Darnold is to protect those edges, because this is a quarterback that can roll out to both his left and right and throw accurately, and that's very unusual. You see a lot of quarterbacks that can throw on the move but not throw on the move moving both directions. He's got three pretty good wide receivers that do a nice job extending plays, getting open on broken plays, and a very good receiving running back in Bilal Powell. So it's a lot for the middle of the field to handle for the defense. So they've got to make sure they get to him quickly, and if they don't get to him quickly, they can't let him extend those plays, because that's where he could really hurt you.
When it comes to the Lions offense, what are you really going to be evaluating tonight, and what must they do if they want to pull out a season opening win tonight, Justin?
Well, they really need to, you know, not make a whole lot of mistakes, I think, is the biggest thing. They're a better team top to bottom than the Jets. The Jets are coming off a 5-11 season. They weren't very good last year. They made some upgrades, particularly in the secondary. It's going to be a big challenge for the Lions wide receivers against two pretty big corners. But what I'm really evaluating is not just how the Lions run the ball, but how they divvy up the responsibility among the backs. They've got four on the roster. I'm not sure all four will be active tonight. There's a good chance, I think, that Amir Abdullah could be inactive as just one of the seven guys that sit down. But how much is Kerryon Johnson going to play? How much is LeGarrette Blount going to handle the workload? And so I want to see how they divvy it. I think it's going to be a thing that's constantly moving based on the matchup, but I want to see how Matt Patricia views it from the start.
You know, Justin, you have a piece in the Detroit News today entitled "Expectations Are High, But Where Will Matt Patricia Take the Lions?" You know, it's a very important question. You know, this is Matt Patricia coming from a winning organization in the New England Patriots. Many Detroit Lions fans are high on Matt Patricia and are excited to see where he can drive this Honolulu Blue bus. When it comes to Patricia, though, setting the tone in this game one, I'm curious, Justin, in what ways will this team look different this season under the leadership and coaching scheme of Matt Patricia?
You know, if the preseason and training camp were any indication, with how hard he pushed those guys through those practices, this should be a much better conditioned football team. You know, in a league where so many games are narrowly decided in the final minutes, you know, the offense has shown that ability to stay poised and rally from behind. But you also need a defense that's capable of making that last stop, and you need an offensive line that's capable of getting that extra push so you could churn out those run yards at the end of the game to run down the clock. So I think that will probably be the biggest defining difference between this year's Lions and previous renditions.
Do you think it's going to be a close one tonight, Justin?
I don't. I mean, it's kind of hard to not pick a one score game in the NFL, just given the nature of the league and how about 70% of games end up in one score. But, you know, as bad as the Lions looked in the preseason, I think they're going to unveil what they really are. This is at home, prime time. That stadium is going to be bananas for a rookie quarterback. They really should win this one by two scores.
Gotcha. And again, it's the New York Jets. So with that being said, I mean, what kind of statement can they make to the rest of the football world here on primetime television, Monday Night Football, if they do in fact what you just stated and win by two scores against the Jets?
You know, I think when you look at the line, and the line on the game is, I believe, 7. So, you know, expectations are the Lions are going to win and win, you know, relatively convincing by NFL standards. But the statement they can make is, one, their blocking is better, both in the protection of Matthew Stafford and their run blocking, that the offense can be multifaceted and complementary with a competent run game. And two, what we saw in the preseason with the defense, which, you know, admittedly looked awful throughout the preseason, is not what we saw during that time. And it's a competent group that can scheme to take away opposing's best players.
Okay. All right. Well, Justin, have fun tonight, my man, amidst all of the work. And I'm also told that I guess they're giving a tribute to Aretha Franklin at the game tonight. Is that accurate?
I have not heard that, but that wouldn't surprise me. I know they did a moment of silence for her right after she passed. So, you know, the Lions are pretty good with those things, and she obviously, you know, had some memorable moments with the team, including that national anthem on Thanksgiving a few years back.
Yeah, certainly. All right. Well, you can read Justin's work again at DetroitNews.com/sports. You can also follow Justin on Twitter at Justin_Rogers. Justin, thank you so much for taking some time on this Monday afternoon, my friend.
Hey, I'm glad we got the phones working.
You got it, right? That's the main thing. Justin Rogers of the Detroit News. All right. I've thrown a lot at you guys behind the glass. Thank you so much. Big props to Drew Henderson and Jack Kerwin. And we also got Alec Rio behind the glass for scrambling to get Justin on and working things out. It's a Monday. It's live radio. Things happen, right? But from what you guys have just heard from Justin concerning the Detroit Lions and also my thoughts on the Michigan State and Arizona State game, just want to give you guys kind of the forum to kind of take in all of that and respond to any of it. So, Jack, I'll start with you.
So just everything in general, I suppose I'm in lockstep with Justin regarding the Detroit Lions heading into tonight's game. I think another big point that maybe he didn't touch on quite as much will be the pass rush. It'll be interesting to see, you know, the type of blitzes that Matt Patricia dials up, just because we didn't see a whole lot of it in the preseason.
And it was poor.
It was poor in
the preseason, yeah.
And as a result, you know, teams ran all over us, and quarterbacks who, you know, are fighting for jobs were able to sit back in the pocket and pick the Detroit Lions defense apart. So that'll be interesting to take a look at. As far as Michigan State is concerned, my biggest concern is players to me don't look improved from last season. And I think that starts up front with the offensive line. As it pertains to Brian Lewerke, I think he needs to be better than he was on Saturday. I wouldn't say he was absolutely awful, as some people would say. However, you know, you alluded to the red zone turnover, and yeah, Matt Dotson probably should make that catch.
He's got
to
catch that.
Yeah, off the tip of his finger, off his fingertips. But, you know, to me, when I was watching that play in real time, I thought Lewerke had to get the ball out, had to throw it away, and you know, kind of realize that the worst thing in the world isn't necessarily a sack or an incompletion, because, you know, that's kind of my takeaway, that I don't think Lewerke's kind of improved through two games what I've seen from him this year, because you'd see him make a boneheaded mistake trying to do too much with the football, I think, last season. And, you know, from what I've seen, he threw the pick six against Utah State, threw the interception against Arizona State in the end zone, should have thrown another ball to Felton Davis on third down in the second half that should have been intercepted. So that's what concerns me as it pertains to the Michigan State Spartans. But for as far as the Lions are concerned, I think Justin's right. And, you know, there aren't a whole lot of two-possession victories in the NFL, but I think we should see one tonight from the Detroit Lions.
We'll see. I think it all depends on how Sam Darnold plays. We'll see. I think that's the unknown that we have right now. All right, real quick. Alec, thoughts?
Yeah, so I'm excited mainly about the Lions offense because we got Marvin Jones and we also got Golden Tate going. And then our running backs, we have a lot of depth there, I believe. Even though they didn't really show out in the preseason, I really do think that Theo Riddick, Kerryon Johnson, and LeGarrette Blount are definitely going to do numbers against the Jets. I'm definitely excited to see what Matthew Stafford's going to do. I definitely think he'll throw maybe 250 to 300 yards passing, mm-hmm.
Matt,
I believe.
Matt, if you're listening, you're make or break for me on my fantasy team, brother. I need you, Matt. I'm just saying. I know 99.9% of my listeners don't care, but Matt, I'm in a dog fight right now. Please throw me like at least four touchdowns tonight.
Yeah, right, Ben Roethlisberger wasn't helping me. He threw three interceptions against the Browns, but it happens. But
I hear you.
Yeah, I'm most excited, looking forward to the Lions offense against the Jets tonight. Cool. As it goes to MSU and ASU, definitely there's a lot of room for improvement. I definitely do believe that the offensive line was getting absolutely destroyed by the defensive line. Then you can't get an offense going if your offensive line can't hold off the defense, because you can't get any time for Brian Lewerke in the pocket to throw the ball. You can't get any running backs to do any yards. Like, as you said, we only got 63 yards total. It was another lack of discipline in the MSU's whole game plan. There were 9 penalties for 82 yards, which was
just like against Utah State. That's a problem.
Yep, and they committed more than double the amount of penalties that Arizona State did.
Right.
And another area where MSU could do better is their third down efficiencies. They only got 4 for 12 on that.
Yeah. I'm telling you. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that Brian Lewerke is getting so much pressure on him, and they can't establish a run game either. I mean, when you become predictable, when they know you're going to pass the ball every single time, and it just makes it that much more difficult. All right. Thank you for that, Alec. Oh, as we close out the show, I got to get this off my chest, because in the midst of all of the football madness on, you know, throughout the entire weekend, on Saturday, I sat down and watched every single moment of the U.S. Open final between Serena Williams and Naomi Osaka. Due to time, I want to get right to it, all right? Serena loses the first set. In the second set, she's down. Naomi Osaka was dominating this match. And then something happened with the chair umpire. Carlos Ramos, notoriously strict chair umpire, he interjects himself into the match for the first time. He called a cold violation for coaching. You cannot receive coaching from the stands at the U.S. Open. It was a formal warning. Ramos spotted Patrick Mouratoglou, who is the coach of Serena Williams, making what he interpreted as a coaching gesture. It looked like, you know, he was telling Serena to come closer to the net. Patrick admitted after the match that he indeed was coaching Serena Williams. He admitted to that. And he said, look, I'm doing nothing different from what every coach in the world of tennis does during a match. All right. Serena took exception to that and went to Carlos Ramos and said, basically, look, I would rather lose than be labeled a cheater. That's a formal warning, though. You can't do that. Serena ends up getting frustrated after losing a point to Osaka. Not too long after that exchange between her and the chair umpire, slams down her racket, and that's a point deduction due to conduct. After that happened, Serena lost her cool, completely lost her cool, goes to the chair umpire, is having this heated exchange with him. She sits down and called him a thief. At that point, he deducted her a game. I'm going to elaborate more on this on tomorrow's Current Sports, because, again, we're coming up against it with just 4 minutes left. There's a few things we got to keep in perspective here. One, when it comes to Carlos Ramos, he acted within protocol, according to tennis rules. There is no coaching from the stands. He spotted it, gave a formal warning. You can't throw your racket down if you're Serena Williams. That is a conduct violation, her second, in essence. When it comes to the first coaching violation, that's a point deduction. And, you know, when you caught the cheer ump a thief, Carlos Ramos was within his rights to give a game to Osaka. But there's two conversations we need to have here. And this is what has perturbed many in the world of tennis and in the world of sports. And Serena made this point well known during her tirade and during her argument with representatives, other representatives, in addition to Carlos Ramos, and made it known during her press conference. There are many males who have said more egregious things to the chair umpire than just calling him a thief and have not been penalized. Carlos Ramos, he acted in accordance to what tennis protocol allows him to do. He could have, which he did, act in accordance to tennis protocol. But there's a different conversation between could have and should have. And I find it hard to believe that Serena Williams, if she was a male, because she brings up an interesting point here, if she was a male, said the same thing. Hard not to believe that that male probably would have at least been given just a warning that if he continued, I'm going to deduct the game. Serena didn't even get a warning. It was just, all right, caught me a thief. That's it. Game deduction. Osaka gets the game. It was unfortunate because you know who's the biggest loser in all of this? Naomi Osaka, who is a queen in her own right. She is going to be one of the budding superstars of tennis, I believe. She's only 20 years old, Japanese, Haitian. She sat up there, so kind, a total sweetheart. And as Tom Rinaldi began the trophy ceremony and trophy presentation, which was supposed to be and was going to be, I believe, because I think Osaka, drama aside, was going to win regardless. That was supposed to be a celebratory moment for her winning her first major. But boos riddled the court. And Serena, accepting this moment with as much class as you can imagine, Serena Williams took the mic and said, look, give her a hand of applause. All right? She's your winner. A lot to unpack. I've got further thoughts on this. I really could do an 8-hour show today. I really could. I'm going to lead the show with Serena and Naomi at the U.S. Open tomorrow. You don't want to miss it because there's a cartoon that's floating around that had me irate as I woke up this morning. We'll get to that and more. Much thanks to Justin Rogers and our fantastic current sports team. We are on a 23-hour break. Have a great Monday. And be easy, people.